What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Spiegel and Holmes.
The Woo people are out.
Thanks for playing some Wu-Tang. That made me feel good.
Chilling with my man Rusty. Ghost is a beast.
Wu-Tang is for the children.
Afternoons on the Score.
Here we go. Ready to run. Had to go quick with the play clock running down. He did. It's a boot. Purdy pulling back, stepping forward, throwing up on a touchdown. What a play, Purdy. His check on the business end. You deserve to dance.
I can't fault the Bears defense for that, where Brock Purdy had the whole game on a string.
The boot scoot?
Yeah, I mean, like, he's scrambling, he's running, he's going back,
up.
He's running forward now, and then he like, Juszczyk is just standing there waiting. That was some serious stuff. The dancing
it was upsetting because
The dancing was upsetting.
Well, the dancing part, but it was upsetting because you've seen Caleb do that to people all season, and then having someone do it to you did not feel good.
I agree.
And then
that.
There was the dancing,
which did not feel good.
McCorkle and him doing the Dougie, people didn't like it.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't enjoy it.
I love that DeAndre Swift did a little mini, like, split-second version of the Dougie and then waved it off.
That's right.
That's right.
But, hey, Brock Purdy's playing good ball. And it's weird when we talk about the Bears' defense. You look at that last game and go, was that game an outlier game? But there have been moments, even against Joe Flacco, for example, where the Bears' defense hasn't been as strong as you would like it to be.
Mm-hmm.
I think a big reason why that's the case is because their pass rush has been inconsistent. And then you add the injuries in the back of their defense. People think, oh, you got to shut down corner. Shut down corner, having one of those is great. There's no doubt about that. But
they don't have a healthy one right now.
They don't. And your defensive backfield is mostly helped by you getting a pass rush. That's when those guys can take some risk. That's when they can play downhill. That's when they can go after a ball, cut under a route, like all of that stuff, because they know the ball is coming out early. And the Bears just don't have that enough of the time.
No, they don't. They do not. They don't have a consistent pass rush. They have gotten eaten alive against the run. You know, they're fifth worst in the NFL against the run. The last 2 weeks, they've given up a total of 392 rushing yards. The last 2 weeks. And that means that your quarterbacks in play action that you're going against can eat you alive. And Malik Willis was 9 for 11 in play action. Brock Purdy ate you alive in play action because you as a defense have to be freaking out about stopping the run. You can't do it.
Now, I know that defenses have targeted TJ Edwards. In fact, offenses have targeted TJ Edwards. In fact, the coach of the Bears, when he was the offensive coordinator of the Lions, targeted TJ Edwards because he is aggressive. He wants to be someone that's gonna get to the spot and get to his run fit and make a play. But he's been taken advantage of quite a bit this year. And inside the game Sunday, it happened a lot where you would see that false step forward.
Mm-hmm.
And then look at all of the open space behind the linebacker level that San Francisco had, open windows to throw to.
TJ's been good on the Mully and Haw show all year long. I didn't hear him address the problems on the defense. Did you?
No. Here's what he had to say about it.
We were doing some uncharacteristic things, I feel like, in terms of how we were executing, you know, and I don't want to, again, you know, it's a good football team, obviously, you know, really good players, good offense. You know, they play well together. And but, yeah, I mean, we expect to go out there and execute at a high level, and we didn't. And I think, you know, we've shown that we can do it. So it's really getting down to the details and figuring out exactly kind of what went wrong and being very critical of ourselves. You know, it's one of those things we don't shy away from. So I know it'll be talked about at length in terms of, you know, what we can do better. But I just thought for the most part, man, they were able to dictate first and second down. So it made third down pretty difficult. But anytime, you know, a team's running the ball like that, you know, second and two, you know, that play sheet is open. So I think for us, it's really, again, man, it's being good on first and second down so that we don't have to, that we can get into what we want to get into on third down. And, you know, it's not first and two from the goal line. It's those things that we, you know, have some more options on what we can do.
I saw this number this morning to TJ Edwards' point. The Bears, 28th in the NFL on first down. They give up 6.1 yards on first down. That is way too damn much. That is second and four, second and three.
And like TJ said, you can kind of call whatever you want.
Man.
Because if you end up in a third and four, you can also still run or pass it because the Bears' run defense hasn't been real strong either.
Play sheet's wide open.
It's wide open. Here's what our guy Matt Bowen had to say about the problems with the Bears' defense against San Francisco.
Okay, the first is in the secondary, cutting off the ball. So I always use the term cutoff angle. And we've talked about this before. That you have to set an edge to your defense every time. And, you know, normally when you think about setting an edge, everyone thinks about the defensive ends, right? Well, that's the interior edge. You have to set a perimeter edge also. And you look at some of McCaffrey's plays in that game, one of his explosive runs, it's because the corner didn't come down to set the edge. Took a poor angle to the football. You can never allow the ball to get outside you. It sounds very basic, right? It sounds like we're talking about junior high football, but that's what it is. Down the goal line, when you have, and I see this too often in the NFL, it's really starting to bother me right now. When you're a corner and you are unblocked, and I use the term a crack block, right? When they crack inside or a safety or a linebacker, you have to replace as a corner. Now you have to set the edge. But corners take this downhill outside angle instead of a 45-degree angle. When you take that outside angle, one, you're giving up one for one versus the lead block. You're giving up one for one. That's a minus because you're not defeating the block. But also, you're expanding the running lane. I see it every Sunday. And, man, it really bothers me because you have to teach that if you're a secondary coach to squeeze or restrict that running lane. Yes, you can't cut block anymore, or cut tackle versus the lead blocker, but I never would ever teach that anyways because you're giving up one for one. You can still play with leverage. You can still get your pads down and restrict that running lane, and you get better at that. And also, at the second level, it's hard against Kyle Shanahan, guys. There's so much pre and post snap movement, and it forces some hesitation. You don't see second level linebackers and safeties playing at the same speed because there's so much to process against that offense. And look, we can say the same thing against with Ben Johnson's offense. Go back to the Philly game, what they did. We saw the same result.
You know what I love about what we've got going here on the score is TJ Edwards says it was just some fundamentals and some individual stuff and doesn't want to get specific.
Yeah, nor should he. I get that.
But then we get a chance to talk to Matt, and he got extremely specific.
Mm-hmm.
And he pointed the finger at guys cutting off the angles wrong. And when he talks about a corner not setting the edge and letting McCaffrey get outside, multiple times that was Nashawn Wright. And Nashawn Wright has been a practice squad corner for a lot of his career. He's had a wonderful year in forcing turnovers, but we have seen some issues in coverage. And Matt Bowen just told you the issues that you feel like you saw, you did see in run support. And this league is too damn good to get away with those kind of mistakes.
And there were some plays, and this is what I think is really good about Shanahan as a play designer, where you saw a pulling guard get out on Jalen, and he can't.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Win that. Like it's really hard for a corner to win that battle when a guard or a tackle is running right at you, and he got destroyed on a couple of those plays.
So that's both your corners.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it was Tyreek who was in there, you know, and And maybe he had a different. I don't recall seeing Tyreek struggle as much as I definitely saw Nashawn struggle and Jalen struggle in the run game. But this is a challenge. There's a big thing that I want to figure out about the linebackers, and I'm hoping that we see it as soon as this weekend and certainly in the playoffs. After Noah Sewell got hurt, Dennis Allen did not use three linebackers on a single play the rest of the game. He had three linebackers often at the beginning, 13 different snaps for Sewell. So that's Tremaine Edmonds and TJ Edwards out there, and your third linebacker. So in your base package, your 4-3 with four DBs. Once Noah Sewell got hurt, he did not go to three linebackers a single time. So he's in the nickel the entire time.
What I like to call the heavy nickel, because it's C.J. Gardner-Johnson, who can play like a safety. He can kind of play as like a weak side linebacker because he's so physical, that sort of thing.
So as a texter was asking, you know, why don't they play four linebackers? They didn't even play three. They didn't even play three. And I love the nickel, and we've talked so much about Kyler and DA adjusting to it, the league, and using more nickel. I get it. But if you're struggling this bad against the run, wouldn't it make sense to maybe use that third linebacker? And I'm sure it goes way deeper than what I'm saying. Who does he trust as that third guy in that weak side spot? Right? Who does he trust? Does he trust DeMarco Jackson in that spot? DeMarco Jackson is a backup middle. You know, does he trust him there? Would it be
NFC Defensive Player of the Week to you, sir?
I know, but it's usage and it's roles. It Amen, Agbambamiga, that he could trust there. I don't know who it would be, but I feel like you got to have that as an option. The fact that he didn't do it once after Noah got hurt is striking to me when they were eating you alive with the run game.
One of the good things that did come out of this game, and later on, like I can imagine this is a project that I take on in late February or early March, of like going back and watching all the snaps for Austin Booker.
Are you going to have time for a project like that? Because you're getting certified in the air raid offense.
I'll do it on my nights off of being air raid certified.
I mean, because that's going to take a lot of time.
It is.
I've
looked at the course. The course is voluminous.
So what is it? Is it like one online course you got to take?
It's.
Or do you have to go in person, sit with 93-year-old Mouse Davis?
You can, but it is multiple parts. Like the way that it's set up is pretty cool. Like you go through the basics, then there's a whole section where you have to put together a game plan. Like there's a lot, and then there's a big review. So while I'm doing that and getting ready to be air raid certified so that I can marry people on football fields.
Thank you for running with that. I believe anytime somebody takes an online course to get certified, it's so they can marry people, so they can officiate a marriage. And if it's air raid, you're looking to marry wide receivers.
I mean, it is.
No tight ends.
I'm only half kidding about this because it is very much in my profile.
Oh,
as,
of course. I'm fully kidding, but you are definitely only half kidding.
And look, like
that's our show.
What I went through at Alabama, like doing that stuff, and I actually found out that like online learning was in my golf bag because it's different and it takes a level of discipline that I was concerned that I didn't have.
To turn off the phone and put it somewhere else?
And I mean, when I was taking classes, I was still hosting solo at night. So I'm doing that. At one point, I was doing the radio show, the television show, teaching my class at DePaul and studying at Alabama.
Yeah, that's too much.
But this air raid thing, when my professors would break down what the semester was going to look like, I was like, okay, this air raid thing looks really challenging. And I'm like, okay, I think I might have it in me to do.
We got to challenge ourselves, man. We got to keep pushing and try to learn new stuff.
Yeah.
It's healthy.
Yeah. So
I support that.
But once I'm done with, I take a break from that, I can look at Austin Booker because I feel like, remember, Austin Booker just turned 23.
Yeah.
And most people thought that he would be in the year after draft, that he would be in this past draft instead of the draft that he was in.
Look, Austin Booker is showing us some stuff.
He's I'm very excited that he looks like a developing defensive end.
What's crazy is that when everybody's talking about the Bears needing to draft an edge rusher, he's not the one I imagine getting replaced. That's what's crazy.
Well, Montez has had a decent season. He got 10 sacks, I think, this year. but it feels like it's not as consistently menacing as it should be for the amount of money that he's making.
Of course.
I think Montez has played pretty well. There were some moments, though, where Purdy got him on his own read. He got him. Like, he was crashing down, and Purdy was like, gotcha ass, and strolling into the end zone.
Yeah, and it was almost always Austin Booker going against Trent Williams' backup, Austin Pleasance.
Yep.
Who had played 12 snaps before. Whatever. I want to turn the page. It's almost time to turn the page. Top of the hour. But before we do that, like Rick Hahn once said, we now pivot to the negative. Let's sit in something really awful from that game that we need to fully acknowledge.
Why have you been so excited to sit in the negative?
I just want to acknowledge just how bad it was.
Okay.
Just for one final thing, and then we can turn the page, and I won't have to bring it up.
Fair
again.
Enough. Like, that's actually a good way to do it. Like, yeah. Get something out, and then we turn the page and get ready for the Lions.
Acknowledge what it is. Be truth tellers with ourselves.
I like it.
Like Ben is asking the players to do.
I like it. Let's do that next here on The Score.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.